There are a few. Yeah, I've only gotten the... I've gotten actually, unfortunately, very, very little. But I'm amazed how little public feedback there has been.
Well, it's Christmas time. It's shopping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jenny's still here, right?
She's not shopping. Jenny loves to shop.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
No, I wanted to pick it up. Yeah, let's get started.
One
for all.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order.
Can you bring up my, how much I have left?
Sure, the chairperson of the city center community,
and Joseph
The minutes of the last
meeting. Minutes of the meeting held on November 16th. We have delegation of Gio Robson. He's leaving.
And who's this for?
This is actually a pet. Everything else is, so you might want to.
I'll bounce the ball off and spend that.
Quite overwhelming with so much information, but we thought it was important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, John.
It's actually 7. It was a typo.
Okay, so I'm going to do just a hopefully a short PowerPoint presentation. We've got a presentation that used to take about an hour, and we've been told we have about 10 minutes to relay all pertinent points about our group, and I'll do my best to do that. We are the Keep Wolseley Green Omens Creek Working Group. Our core working group, there's about 21 residents that have been working on a number of different tasks as individuals and in committees over about 2.5 months. And our team has been doing archival and legal research. We've been writing and communicating with stakeholders all in our volunteer free time. We've received some help and assistance from Councillor Harvey Smith. I'll explain that later. We've got endorsement and support from the Wolseley Residents Association, Rob Altmeyer, our MLA for Wolseley, and the Assiniboine Watershed Network. So in your packages of information, there are letters from the WRA, the Wolseley Residents Association, from Rob Altmeyer, from the Assiniboine Watershed Network. And what we did in order to have as much consultation and involvement with the community as possible is that we use existing networks that the Wolseley Residents Association and Wolseley World had. We use their email list to both collect and to disseminate information that consisted of almost over 700 households. We attended Wolseley Residents Association monthly meeting, and we had an open community information meeting at the Portage Avenue Church on December the 8th. So, we're here today to ask for a reversal of a May 19, 2010 council decision to accept the recommendation of the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development to declare lands adjacent to 522 Raglan Road as surplus and to sell them. So at the very back of your packages, I do have the minutes and the motion from May 19th. I'll get to that at the end of my presentation. I'd like to review that. We're also, in addition to reversing or recalling the previous decision, we're also asking that previous history and council decisions to protect these lands as parkland be respected, and that a process be initiated to ensure that, first of all, the lands are rezoned and protected as permanent parkland, and second is that we are kept informed as to the civic path to achieve these goals, and that we're given regular status reports as to how things are going, and we'd also like to request that upon what we think should be a fairly straightforward path to successful completion, that we're provided with some sort of notification. Okay, so I'm just going to give a little bit of history and context of the area. So the two lots that were voted on for us to be declared surplus and to be sold are these two parcels right here. They consist of a total of 70 feet of frontage. But in order to really understand the importance of the lands and the context, we first want to talk a little bit about which is about 3.2 acres just to the south of those two parcels. For most of us in the community, we've always assumed that the two parcels that were declared surplus and up for sale were an actual part of Halter Park. They were a national extension. They've been maintained by the city for well over 40 years, and they've been used daily by the public as a green space for 40 years. So Halter Park was actually purchased in 1963 by Aubrey Halter. He was a well-known lawyer, developer, and philanthropist. And it was at the time he bought it, it was a natural green space, and he bought it under the pretext or under the promise that he would develop a memorial garden to his family. And his family were, I won't go into the history, but they made a lot of important contributions to civic institutions in history. But community residents were immediately upset at the sale of this public land to a private individual, and there's a lot of suspicion because Mr. Halter had a history of being a developer and putting up high-rises and condominiums. He did try to sell the property at least once to commercial developers, and in all the research we did, we find a number of city documents where it appears that they're a little bit repentant and uneasy about the 1963 sale. So as a result of this, during the 1970s and 1980s, there were a number of attempts to both expropriate the lands and to rezone them as parkland, because they were at this time still zoned as R2, residential multifamily. The property title for Halter Park was transferred three times since 1963, and since 1999, it's been owned by a nonprofit conservation group, Global Forest Society. So all of us in the neighborhood, we've always assumed that Halter Park was purely a city property, a city park, and we've enjoyed it and experienced it daily. We were quite surprised to find this. So Global Forest Society, it turns out, is based in Los Angeles and Dallas. And it was founded and is headed by Dr. Reese Halter, who is Aubrey Halter's son. It's still zoned R2. And the city, since 2001, has been trying to expropriate Halter Park. We spoke to one of the litigators in the Legal Services Department of the City of Winnipeg, and they stated that the reason they've been trying to litigate and expropriate that property is that they felt that it was an important public green space, that it should be owned by the city, and also that it was important to the city that they control riparian zones along the creek. So we obviously are asking the question, does it not make sense if the city has made this important decision and they're investing a lot of time and resources into expropriating this portion of land, why would we at the same time be selling these other parcels at the corner that again have been used by city for by the community forever and ever? Okay. So regarding the actual lots that have been voted as or passed as surplus and for sale, again, I mentioned that there's actually two of them. There's a 50-foot and a 20-foot lot. The 50-foot lot was previously known as 520 Raglan Road, and there was actually a house on it that was previously demolished by the Portage Avenue Mennonite Church in 1970. Since 1969, in the research we were able to do, there have been at least seven attempts to develop this property either alone or combined with adjacent lots. So there was a private developer who had purchased the property and tried to build a high-rise apartment block in 1969. There was a preschool proposed to be built in 1970, a senior low-rise in 1971. There were three attempts to convert the lands into a parking lot. And finally, in 1993, there was an application, there was an attempt to build a house on the lots that we were discussing today. And there's something really, there was a lot of connections between each of these seven attempts. And that was that each time there was a lack of consultation with the community, and the community would read a notice in the paper or see a zoning memorandum sign go up on the lot or the property, and they would be forced to mobilize and get together and react. And each time they were successful, they went before various City of Winnipeg or back then Metro Councils and committees, and the City of Winnipeg and the Metro Council committees always agreed with them and overturned the proposals for development. So the 20-foot lot, that little strip, I should mention that on early plans it was shown as a lane allowance. It was never used as such, it was only on paper. But for time immemorial, since the Red River Settlement, this has been green, natural green space used by the community and maintained by the City of Winnipeg. The 50-foot lot I mentioned had a house on it, previously owned by the Portage Avenue Mennonite Church. They demolished it in 1970, and in that same year, it was filled in with grass, and the city started to maintain those grasslands. It was considered a part of an extension of the adjacent park. And the community has used it daily since that day in 1970. So every day in the summer you go, you'll see dog walkers, you'll see kids playing soccer, you'll see kites, people having picnics and flying kites, etc. So sometime in the 1980s, the City of Winnipeg was doing some infrastructure upgrades, and they installed a subterranean land drainage sewage line on the north side of that 50-foot lot. And because of that installment of that sewage line, they also placed a 20-foot easement that effectively meant that on that 50-foot lot, there's 20 feet that's unbuildable. It effectively makes this lot completely unusable to anybody who wanted to build a house or any type of structure on top of it. Portage Avenue Mennonite Church, so they own this lot. They had tried to, they were experiencing growth and they needed to do to serve their members. So they tried to put parking lots several times on it. They tried to put a residence on it. And they're paying taxes on it. They realize that this is surplus to their needs. So they have their senior pastor who comes to them and says, I'd like to build a house on this lot. It's perfect. It's a beautiful lot. So they proposed to sell this lot in 1993 to the pastor, who in his applications for and investigations to get building permits discovers that there's actually this 20-foot easement. There's a sewage line that's been installed. The city and the church start to discuss among themselves the history of this, and nobody has paperwork or any paper trail of when the actual sewage line was installed. There's no actual agreement between the church and the city to have that put in. So because of this, the purchaser went to the city and said, I can't build on this 50-foot lot, but if you guys sell me this 20-foot lot, there's going to be enough space here for me to build a house. And the city said, okay, that sounds fair. We put this line under the lot, and now you can't build on it, so sure, we'll sell it to you. And they passed a bylaw to sell this 20-foot lot. Well, the community didn't know about this, and they found out, and they had been using this park already now since 1970 for 23 years. And they mobilized and went to a committee called the City Center Community Committee in 1993. We have a gentleman, an older gentleman on the street, who sat before this very committee in 1993 to make a presentation similar to what I'm making today. And they argued that it was, important parkland. It had always been parkland, and this was going to alter the character of the street, and it wasn't right that this happened, especially without community consultation. So the City Center Community Committee, in their great wisdom, listened to the community request, and they made the important recommendation to, first of all, remove the lane allowance designation to that property. They made the recommendation to transfer to the Parks and Recreation Department, and they also recommended that it become rezoned PR or PEC. And this recommendation was adopted by City Council on October 20th, 1993. So in your packages, you've got letters from the city clerk of the City Center Community Committee, you've got a report from the Works and Operations Department, and you've also got a letter from Sandy Hyman, the then councillor of River Heights, who writes a letter apologizing to the community members that there hadn't been more consultation, that there had been a mistake, and that it was an unusual mistake to have happened. And he gives them the good news that they're going to hope that this decision is reversed and that they're going to initiate the process to rezone these lands as parkland. At the end of the letter, there's also a commitment that, in addition to making sure this happens, that citizens and residents in the neighborhood were going to be kept abridged of what was going on with these lands earlier in the process so that they weren't caught by surprise again. So I've included in your packages a couple of articles that celebrated the fact that the community was successful and that this attempt to amalgamate these two lands and develop them had been stopped. Here's another one with a picture of residents from our street in 1993 sitting on the lot celebrating their success. Last paragraph, councillors also agreed with District Planner Chris Knoll that the existing city property designated as a lane be transferred from the Streets and Transportation Department to the Parks Department to reaffirm that its practical use has been as parkland. So the church, this is 1993, the church continued to own and pay taxes on the 50-foot property until 2005. So they've got this property. Their children are going out and playing it after church services. There's pictures being taken after weddings. The rest of the community still believes it's now part of Halter Park or part of City Park, and they're using it. 2005, the church doesn't want to pay taxes on this anymore, and they come to an agreement with the city of Winnipeg to sell it to them. Under a couple of understandings, first that the lot was unbuildable, it would always be unbuildable, and also that it would be somehow joined to adjacent parkland, it would be continued to be green space. So you can imagine the sense of shock and disbelief on September 23rd of this year when we woke up one morning to find a surplus land for sale sign on the park and a listing on the City of Winnipeg website. We made a number of calls to both some of the city administration and to Harvey Smith. This was just before the election, so their council wasn't sitting, so the timing was a little bit difficult, but Harvey Smith, we're grateful that Harvey Smith intervened on our behalf and asked that it be taken off the market until we can be given a chance to present the case. Okay, so I should mention too that this is about 4 or 5 weeks after you may remember that there was a really big thing that happened in Wolsey with regards to Omens Creek Bridge, and there wasn't necessarily agreement of a global agreement on what kind of bridge or if a bridge should be built, but there were two things that were clear. One was that Wolsey residents really valued and were passionate about their park spaces, especially Omens Creek and Halter Park. And the second thing that there was a really big expectation that they be involved and consulted with when any proposed changes were going to happen with those lands. Okay. So on May 19th, City Council was presented with a fairly unfortunate document from the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development. And, you know, we spent a lot of time doing this, and we have a big history in the community on the street connected to these lands. So we understand that administrators and politicians are under tremendous pressure to find surplus lands, to sell them, and to do the right thing. But when you look at the minutes and the motion, what was presented to the council, there's a lot of information that's clearly missing based on everything that I've shown you today. So, first of all, with regards to history, I've told you that there's already been a council decision to declare these parkland. There's been 7 attempts to develop these lands since 1969, and they've all been overturned. This is the history that we receive on these two lots. There's no mention that it's been used continuously and maintained continuously by the City of Winnipeg for 40 years and used by community. There's no mention that it's on Omens Creek. It's no mention it's next to Halter Park. There's no mention that it's on the riparian zone. It does say at the bottom, no other civic need was identified, which we found quite remarkable. Oh, I didn't want to get out of this just yet. Sorry, folks. I hope I'm not being too dramatic here, everyone. I'm getting all excited and flustered.
Okay.
The other part that we found a little bit troublesome was the part on consultation. After everything that's happened and how the neighborhood has had to over and over and over again defend its public lands and public park, we were quite shocked to see that consultation and preparing this report that was consultation with not applicable. So again, we don't have any real ill feelings towards administration who may not have had access to all the information we have. And we have no ill feelings towards council who were, you know, voting, making a decision with the information that was given to them at the time. But obviously the information is absolutely incomplete and you know, someone might suggest, a little bit misleading. Coming to the end. So I've given you lots of history and details. We haven't got into the important picture of the importance of parks to community life and community consultation, but we had invited somebody from the neighborhood who offered to make a presentation. He can't come here, but he has sent just a half-page document that he's asked us to read on his behalf. And it talks a little bit about the big picture of the importance of parks. And we're also going to ask administration and council, as we carry on from this meeting and hopefully bring this to a successful conclusion like it should have in 1993, remember some of the key points that the guiding document of Plan Winnipeg sets out for them. I'll ask Sophia if you could just read Chris Green's letter.
I said, was that enough? My name is Cythia Sam, and I live at 505 Raglan Road. I'm a new Winnipegger. I've only been here since last summer. And I'm just very impressed with our neighbors in the green space. And Geo Robson has asked me to read this letter on the behalf of Chris Green, who lives at 184 Chestnut Street in Wellesley. It's addressed to you, members of the City Center Community Committee. I would like to express my opposition to the Standing Policy Committee's decision to declare the lands adjacent to 522 Raglan Road as surplus and available for public sale. Although I do not live on or near Raglan Road, I would like to emphasize that the Omens Creek Park area is an important asset to the Wolseley neighborhood as a whole and is a frequent destination for many neighborhood residents. It is heavily used year-round by my family and many of my neighbors on the east end of Wolseley for a wide variety of activities, including dog walking, tobogganing, fishing, mountain biking, and just plain exploring. In the Wolseley neighborhood, there is not a lot of green space or parkland available to us. Preserving the existing green spaces that we do have is critical for our quality of life and for ensuring that our neighborhood continues to be livable and a desirable place to live. I believe that it is especially critical to protect the Wolseley neighborhood in this regard, as it is currently one of the core neighborhoods in Winnipeg upon which the integrity of the downtown depends. I am therefore opposed to any moves by the City of Winnipeg to restrict the size or scope of this important green space area. I feel that doing so sets an important precedent that land that is currently dedicated to parkland and recreation can be sold to private interests. As we are all aware, preserving green space, especially public access along our waterways, is a priority of Plan Winnipeg 2010, with its emphasis on maximizing recreational opportunities, environmental stewardship, and the support and stabilization of downtown neighborhoods. Thank you for listening to our concerns and considering our request to retain the properties in question as public green space. Sincerely, Chris Green, 184 Chestnut Street.
So folks, I realize we've gone way over. I'm really sorry to take this time, but we felt it's important you get these facts. That the City Center Community Committee in 1993 made a good decision and it should be binding. The entire City Council voted on it back in 1993, and for whatever reason, walls were dropped and that didn't happen. It's quite absurd that we're here 17 years later making the same case and having to defend our parklands again. I'm really hopeful that our kids in the neighborhood who play in these parklands every day aren't going to be here in another 17 to 20 years having to do the exact same thing. So thanks for your time. We have a folder that's 2 inches thick of documents and legal information if you need more. And we're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
But I appreciate it, and I can understand why you want to make sure you get heard after all the years. So we hear you loud and clear, I'm
yep.
sure, and I don't want to say.
And thank you for doing all that research.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a wonderful
That is important. go up Ragged Road and have to deserve a lot of credit. This green space is important, and I really have to thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're
thank
you. We're going to deal with the matter right away, so we'll just go through our agenda a little quickly.
Do I shut down?
The next few minutes. So.
Sorry to take away your night.
Okay, thank you very much. We will get to it right away. We'll just go through the rest of our agenda quickly. Probably we'll just take
What is the topic?
Same topic.
Oh.
I'm going to echo the counselors here. These people have done very, very good research. They've done very good research, and I certainly support what they're doing. But here tonight, I'm here tonight on behalf of the innumerable Winnipeggers who have been angry, disappointed, and frustrated over the loss of their green space through the phrase surplus to requirements. About a month and a half ago, I attended a Park Spaces and Open Spaces public survey that was done this fall by the city, and the participants were asked to determine the best criteria for establishing green parks. Given that there seems to be no formal criteria for establishing new parks, I wonder if it would be possible for a committee to make an inquiry on property planning and development, specifically what are the requirements and how are they determined when land is considered to be surplus to requirements. What are those requirements? And if you choose to make this inquiry, could you please get back to us on that and let us know how they responded? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Okay, are there any further requests for that? Okay. We'll go to the we'll get to that item quite quickly. Item one is that the City Center Library Advisory Committee.
Yeah. Two people who have reapplied, Carolyn Rickey and Michael Keenan, both in the Fort Rouge's Fort Gary. And we have a new, we actually have four vacancies and a new applicant of Lindsay Smith who lives in the Daniel McIntyre area. So we have four vacancies, three people who have applied.
Do you want to move that?
Yeah.
So item two is per capita grant to the Humane Society.
Yeah, I move $840.80.
Okay, so I moved almost in favor of the I have a number of grants I'm moving here. Fort Rouge School, I'd like to move $400.
Councillor Smith's in the chair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All those in favor?
Well, Councillor Smith, you can continue in the chair. I'd like to move $500 for the Broadway Neighborhood Center Plus TV program.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Carried.
And the Earl Grey Community Center, $500 for the youth program there.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Carried.
And the Family Center of Winnipeg, which is actually the main care center, $300.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Okay, now we're on item 7. Councilor Smith.
I'm going to move this to be referred to the administrative report.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're okay.
They're
going to come back here.
They'll come back here.
Okay, and you're asking me, is that all we need, or do we need anything more specific? Like, what are you asking for in the report?
I'm asking them to look at this, the history of this piece of land, and look at the history, and report back.
Would you not want to move that you did not use
With the idea of not selling it. In fact, we'd like them to look at it as permanent parkland.
Okay, so to report back on making the land parkland?
Yeah. As outlined. As outlined already. What was the time? The council meeting?
So that basically you want to recommend that we carry through with 1993.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's clear what the administration is going to ask you.
Okay, but this is a council decision, so if you'd have to go to the standing committee and ask for them to rescind the council. Council to rescind the decision, is that what your intent
yes.
is, or do you just want a report back from the administration?
Well, let's first of all have a report back.
Report
okay,
back?
And then we can act after that.
On rescinding the land?
Yeah.
Can I suggest we lay it over to our next meeting and we have the administration come back with the history, and then at that time, we can make a motion asking, as long as you're sure that nothing will go forward in terms of the sale of the land in that time or anything else.
Well,
like if we can hold them off to do that, then when it comes back, then you can move that. But if you're not ready to move it yet because you want to get the history, we could get that history in our next meeting, and then we could.
Right.
Or we could just go ahead. I mean, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the history. Yeah, it's not going to change anything.
No.
So let's just go
trick
there.
Why don't you just say that we reiterate the 1993 motion and we want to ask them to rescind?
Yeah. Just go straight to standing
policy. Your intent is to rescind the decision
right.
to declare surplus and to reinstate the 1993 to
yeah.
actually carry out the council approved motion to declare
park.
So we're sending this to P&D.
Standing
yeah.
policy
yeah.
committee, and then you can
citizens
can go and speak
here
and such. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay.
Good. All those in favor?
Yep. Aye. Okay, go home. Keep warm.
Okay. There's a plan of
approval on plan number 9.
Wrought
iron fence. Iron fence all around it?
Oh, this plan approval is
Numero 9?
Riverbend Seniors.
No.
One, I don't know if those are the right
words. Yeah, actually what I have is the Fort Geary Women's Resource Center. It's in River Heights. They're requesting $500.
So moved.
Okay. Riverbend.
Yes, Riverbend Seniors are requesting $400. And resources to review. I'm
going
to give them $500.
And
I think that's pretty much
that's
all our money.
And I can confirm that.
Can you just double check if there's any kind of a problem?
Yeah. Between now and the public,
there's like $12. I just wanted to make sure.
Certainly.
$12.
To these people.
They got zero.